I want you to look again, if you would, this morning, Psalm 113. And I want you to notice on this New Year's Sunday, one of the more familiar references in the Word of God, Psalm 113, and notice verse 3. He says, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." Now, this rising of the sun until the going down of the same is in reference, of course, to a period of time. And specifically to a day. The evening and the morning were the first day, it says in Genesis. And of course, by extension, that same event often refers to a life. We talk about the sunset of life and beyond the sunset and so on. And then it is also a reminder of an entire year. Rosh Hashanah begins at sunset, at the head of the year. So that again, this reference to a sunrise and a sunset, a reminder of a period of time. However, it is also a reference in this text and context to something else, something wonderful, something critical, and something very powerful in the Christian life. After all, what the text actually says is that from the rising of the sun unto the setting of the same, what? You put an X on your calendar? You change your status on Facebook? Count your calories. From the rising of the sun until it sets, the wages, the taxes, the index, the interest is all calculated. The money is to be counted during that time. I suppose for every financial institution from Wall Street to Guam, it is an opening bell and a closing bell that indicates a day. But in this case, the text says what? It says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. That's spiritual. And that is an indication that for the child of God, there is always something deeper, something far more significant in the course of a day or a year or a lifetime than mere numbers on a calendar or on a ledger. Our Father in heaven, we need your help today, and we ask for it. We thank you for blessing us already and encouraging us through fellowship and music, the opportunity to give. But now we need your word, we need to hear from you, and we pray that all distractions and sins would be cast aside by your grace and mercy, that our hearts may be focused to hear what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are three things in the text this morning that I want you to notice as we all begin to embrace this brand new year. The first one you'll notice, number one, is a lesson about beauty. Yep, it is a lesson about beauty because, after all, the text speaks first and foremost about two glorious things, a sunrise and a sunset, both of which are often so beautiful that they testify to the glory, the beauty of God. Look at verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? David said, if I take the wings of the morning, you've seen those on a beautiful sunrise. Behold, thou art there. They testify by the beauty and the glory of God. And I want you to think about something for just a moment with me. How many sunrises and how many sunsets have you seen in the very physical sense in this past week, this past month, the past year, or the past decade? How many have you truly looked upon and paid attention to throughout your entire life? Now, I ask that for a very important reason, because of a very human tendency in all of us. You see, anything in life that is customary is soon commonplace. Anything in life that is customary to us, it happens every day, will soon be commonplace to us. Anything that is oft repeated is eventually oft ignored. For example, suppose this morning that a sunset or a sunrise only occurred once every 100 years. Imagine In other words, if you're lucky, you get to see one, fortunate, you get to see one throughout your entire lifetime, which means for the first, 5,000 years of human history, people could only rely on what they are told about the beauty, the glory of a sunrise, or the stunning glow of an orange and purple and pink sunset. No videos or photos even a couple hundred years ago, just word of mouth. And of course, think about this. When the date for one of these 100-year events starts to draw nigh, it's a big deal. It's on the calendar. People know when it's coming. It's a huge deal. Imagine the worldwide commotion and excitement that that alone would draw. You know, I still remember 1986, all the hype and all the media attention of the coming of Halley's Comet. Halley's, Halley's, tomato, tomato. They made a big deal about how to pronounce it even. Now, I had never seen it. It's only visible every 75 years. I was 28 years of age. This was my very first opportunity. Brother Sam's second. But it was obviously a very, very big deal, this comet coming. The next opportunity, by the way, will be in 2061. But I'm going to promise all of you young people who are sitting here today, 50 years from now, don't buy the hype. Don't go and buy a $500 telescope, travel to a mountain in Colorado, don't stay up till 3 in the morning in freezing temperatures just because of this so-called once-in-a-lifetime miracle. Unless you already get completely bowled over by a tiny little fuzzy light in the sky. And folks, if that is the case, you can see about 3,000 of those every night without a telescope. You see, folks, again, that which is customary oftentimes become commonplace. And yes, that applies to the unparalleled beauty of a sunrise and a sunset. So that if we did, think of this, if we did only see one every 75 or 100 years or so, you can be sure that you would not tell your children or grandchildren that it's a tiny little light, fuzzy light in the sky. You wouldn't downplay it. You would tell them the truth. You would describe it in such detail that our children would stand on the tiptoe of expectation as their opportunity perhaps grew closer years away. And yet, it would be a spectacle heralded around this earth. It would be prepared for with a lifelong anticipation that you know would not disappoint a single observer on the one day that it had arrived. But you see, folks, that's the perversity of human nature. We don't oftentimes see the beauty of God's handiwork and His glory right in front of us. Folks, the beauty is there every single day. The glory of God is there every single day. The marvel, the wonder, the majesty, it's all right there. But our carnal eyes are what gets used to it. May I say, beloved, this same dynamic happens with every good and perfect gift that comes from above. A newborn baby, a sinner is saved, a prayer is answered, a Bible is opened, a meal is served, a truth is preached. A full moon, a starlit night, a placid sea, a child's prayer, a wedding vow. Ladies and gentlemen, every sunrise and every sunset this past year and this coming year is a reminder that 2013 had a baseline of 365 glorious, beautiful works of God. In fact, actually double that. And from that 365 times two, you can add scores and hundreds and thousands of other reminders of the beauty and the glory of God. So that what happened in 2013 will certainly happen again in 2014. It's just a question of whether or not you have eyes to see and a heart to appreciate. And that brings us to the second lesson in the text. We said, number one, a sunrise and a sunset is a reminder of God's beauty in creation. God is an artist who is fond of colors and variety that no man can recreate. But the second thing you'll notice, number two, there's also a reminder of God's bounty. You see, the sunrise, sunset reminds us of God's beauty, that's His glory, but also of God's bounty, that's His goodness. Look again at verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, The Lord's name is to be praised. Verse 7, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. Now, folks, I want you to hear this carefully. You think about a sunrise and what it teaches us, therefore, about the faithfulness of God. We use the expression, the sun always rises, or as sure as the sun rises in the east, or the sun will come up tomorrow, and so on, the sunrise. After a long, dark night, is a testimony, it is God's parable, that God Himself is faithful, that God always provides for His own. That's why verse 3 says, as sure as that, He says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, what? The Lord's name is to be praised. Well, folks, praised for what? Well, in part, praised for His goodness. Praised for His faithfulness. You know, one of my favorite texts in all the Bible on the goodness of God in the context of a sunrise is in Psalm 65. Look there, would you? Hold your place. Psalm 65, I want you to notice what it says. First of all, in verse 8. They also, Psalm 65, verse 8, they also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. You know, that has always been true throughout the world when God shows something glorious and marvelous. It's beyond them. And unfortunately, sometimes people who are afraid of the tokens worship the tokens. The creation, not the creator. But look at this beautiful expression. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. In other words, sunrise and sunset are so powerful that if we did see it for what it really is, we would shout for joy. But that's not all. Verse 9, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with a river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. And then, in what would be a great theme verse, for any year, it says in verse 11, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Wow. Think of it this way, folks. Every morning and every evening, there is a brand new jewel of God in that year. The sunrise, the sunset. Every morning, every evening, a brand new jewel. And with those 750 jewels, God makes an annual crown. And with that, He crowns that year with His goodness. Now, folks, I mentioned a moment ago the sad reality that human nature tends not to notice or appreciate everyday blessings and everyday glories. Our carnal flesh rarely values that which happens every single day. We don't value blessings that come all the time, and we don't value blessings that don't cost anything. So let's go back to the sunrise and the sunsets that are beautiful and testimonial. And the fact that if they did come once every 75 years or so, and if you could only see it by now, paying admission for that one single time, do you realize what would happen? You realize that there would be an enormous industry set up around that one event. Somebody would sell seats for oceanside viewing. There would be premium mountaintop seating for the rich and powerful, skyboxes and tailgating, because once in a lifetime, you might get to see this. There were people that would have savings accounts they would start for their newborns called the Sunrise Fund or the Sunset Bonds, so that when their child came of age, they would have a ticket to the show of a lifetime. And when it came, beholding it for their one and only time, they would bask in every fleeting second of its goodness. And whatever that ticket may have cost them, it wouldn't compare to the enjoyment of that singular once-in-a-lifetime blessing, would it? Well, there's good news. Tomorrow morning, it's free. Matter of fact, tonight, it's free. And you know what? It's not buy one, get one. It's just get two, free. Two a day free. just like scores and hundreds and thousands of blessings that God blesses us with every single day, every single night. Psalm 127, the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. You say, Pastor, sleep? Who is grateful and who praises God for sleep? Well, you would if you hadn't had it just the past 2 days. But because you have it, you don't see it as a blessing. And the same thing is true for our vision and our eyesight. The same thing is true for our job, for our ability to walk, for our freedom to worship, for our church, our hearing, our tasting, our feeling, all of these everyday blessings that God gives us with every sunrise and every sunset. I remember many years ago, on New Year's Day, 1999, I was driving and I pulled over in Northlake and I stopped at a gas station, and after filling up, I walked inside to get a little pack of pain reliever because I had a headache coming on, just starting to come on. So I wanted some aspirins. Well, it so happened that the gentleman behind the counter was from India. And apparently he didn't believe in a lot of modern medicine. He had alternative medicine in his mind. And so he said to him, he said, "You want aspirin for what?" And I said, "Well, I that was unusual, first of all, when you ask for something, can I have some aspirin? What do you want it for?" But that wasn't nearly as unusual as when I told him that I had a headache, what he did next. He was behind the counter. He walked around the counter up to me. He takes my hand and he turns it palm up. And you say, "Pastor, you let him do that?" I had a headache. And now I'm curious. So grabbing my thumb, he takes a pin and he starts rolling it across the print of my thumb. Now, when I say rolling, I don't just mean rolling. He was pressing and pushing to the point that I could feel the corpuscles and nerve endings crushed underneath. It hurt so much. I had tears welling up in my eyes. But at this point, you know, I'm like, finish the job, whatever you're going to do, but it hurt. And before I could say Victor Papali, he grabbed my other hand and started doing the same thing, smashing and crushing what I thought were good, healthy cells at one time. And while he's doing it, he says, "I am concentrating the pain to here, from here to here." A few minutes later, I'm driving down I-95 like this, throbbing in agony. And now an excruciating headache, and I have no aspirins. That was New Year's Day, 1999. You know why I remember it? Why I'll never forget that morning? Because I remember the next day waking up without pain and thinking, "Wow, my thumbs don't hurt. This is awesome." In fact, there were a few times during the year I would be like, "I'm grateful that my thumbs don't hurt." Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you grateful that your thumbs don't hurt? Because if you're not, I have a pen. And I can concentrate your gratitude. Look at verse 11 again. He says, "Thou, God, thou crownest the year with thy goodness." You know, anybody who's ever read the book of Psalms, and especially the Psalms of David as this one is well aware that David experienced and wrote about all of his trials, his many temptations and failures and disappointments, and of course, his doubts. King David did not present a gilded, rosy, trouble-free view of life and of serving God. And you know what? That's good. That's why we love the book of Psalms. Because the truth of the matter is, life does consist of trials and temptations and troubles. As Job said, man is a few days and full of trouble. You know, the previous year, 2013, and the next year, 2014, will testify to that. Every year has its share of sorrows. But you know, for every single Christian in this room, there is this greater and important truth The truth of verse 11, that whatever the year may bring or any year brings, God crowns that year always. He puts the crown of his goodness on it. In other words, it is true, it'll always be true, that every year on this earth includes a certain amount of tears. But in addition to those tears, yea, even greater than and beyond and above those tears, God places a crown. And bear in mind that a crown is highest, a crown is most visible, a crown speaks of beauty and splendor and royalty. So that when David says, God crowns my year with goodness and your year with goodness, he is saying that above and beyond all of your trials and your tears, God places this crown. It is the crown of his blessing and goodness. And I remind you this morning that God's bounty will always outweigh, will always outnumber, and will always outlast our burdens. You know, God gives two jewels every day, with each sunrise and each sunset, so that every year he crowns all of those with his goodness. The great preacher Charles Jefferson wrote in 1885, "When we begin to stagger under life's routine and monotony, God sets the western sky on fire to make the soul cheerful again." Verse 9 of chapter 65 again says, "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it." Verse 10, "Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly." We noted earlier the truth in James 1:17 that every good, every perfect gift comes from above. Well, folks, that's a spiritual reality too. It is a spiritual reality that's illustrated by this physical reality, the rain. The rain that falls from above and gives life to this earth has spoken to every nation and every tribe about the bounty of God. The Lord Jesus, as you know, took a little lads, loaves and fishes. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 9 that what, quote, "looking up to heaven, he blessed them and gave thanks and gave to the disciples." Can I ask you why? Why did Jesus look up to heaven and give thanks for that bread and that meat? Because, ladies and gentlemen, thou, God, visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it. In other words, the Lord Jesus recognized what we must all recognize, that every stitch of clothing and every bite of food and every drink of water and every breath of air is all by the goodness of God. Verse 13 here says, "The pastures are clothed with flocks." Why? Why flocks of sheep? Because Proverbs 27:26 says, "The lambs are for thy clothing and the wheat is for thy food." In other words, wool and grain and cotton and fruit and you name it, whatever it is that's provided for our food and our clothing to our benefit, that bounty is a gift of God that comes to us every single day. Because I remind you of this, whatever trials and troubles came your way this past year, nobody in this room starved to death. Nobody in this room without food or raiment. Nobody in this room who knows Christ lost their salvation. Because God is good. He crowns the year. He crowned last year with his goodness. Back in our text in Psalm 113, turn there if you would, Psalm 113. We said, number one, there's a lesson of beauty, the glory of God. There was a lesson of bounty, the goodness of God. Number three, you'll notice there's a lesson of brevity, the grace of God and the brevity of life. Psalm 113, look at verse 2. "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." Now, wait a minute. Verse 2 says, forevermore. And you notice the wording of that verse is very specific. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time. That's a day and a night. That's time. From this time forth, then it says, and for that matter, forevermore. Forevermore? You see, folks, compare that for a moment to a day. The sun rises, the sun sets, and a day is past. A few days ago, the sun rose, and the sun set, and a year was past. For some in this room, the sun will rise and the sun will set this year. And your life will be past. We preached in the fall in Psalm 102. My days are like a shadow that declineth. Shadows decline with the setting sun, so that clearly it is a very brief event. And beloved, on this New Year Sunday, as we ought to do with every setting sun, we should remember and embrace and rejoice, and as Moses said, gain wisdom in the brevity of life. You say, embrace it, Pastor? Yes. Because if you are saved, verse 3 says, you will bless the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. There were dear people sitting in the pews in 2013 who are no longer with us in these pews. But they are blessing the name of the Lord there and will do so forevermore. It is a reminder of the brevity of life. And that is a reminder this morning that if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a reminder that your opportunity to accept Him will also be past. As Brother Talbot sang a moment ago, the night cometh when no man can work. Christian, verse 3 says this. Look at it again. We'll close. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Not taken in vain. Not neglected. Taken in earnest. His name is to be praised. Day is dying in the west. Heaven is touching earth with rest. Wait and worship while the night sets her evening lamps alight throughout all the sky. It's a lesson of the brevity of life and the grace of God in that brevity. I wonder this morning, Christian, hey, the blessings that you get every day and the reminders of those blessings, the jewel of the morning and the evening and the crown of every year of God's goodness and bounty. I wonder if you're excited and grateful and thankful, as you would be if you saw a sunset once every 100 years. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. One day the sun will set on your life, and then it will be eternally too late. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word that reminds us, Lord, as David said, if I take the wings of the morning, behold, thou art there. That the heavens declare the glory of God, that you have made a tabernacle for the sun. That all of these things, Father, are not to be worshipped or served. They're simply to point our heart to the Creator and to the Giver of all. And I pray, God, that this year, we'll be more grateful, more thankful, more aware of your goodness, more redeeming the time than we ever have been. I pray for these who have asked for prayer, that those that are not saved, dear God, we ask that you'll use this time to convict their hearts to their need of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.